kind of shifting gears of development here. But you mentioned Veterans Memorial Stadium and how it does, while it's serving a purpose for JSU, it does block expansion for UNC. And clearly Jackson State still needs a football stadium.
Yes.
And that's been an issue lately.
Yes, it has.
And when you mentioned the legislature, they did provide Jackson with some funds for things like the zoo and the Children's Museum, but notably absent was any funding for that stadium.
Yes.
that the university asked for. How can the city get past this impasse with UMC and Jackson State and get that funding if they don't get help from the state legislature?
Well, the thing about any major development, the challenge is always funding. Development projects are difficult. Mm-hmm. They're difficult, particularly in this economic climate. Mm-hmm. People are a lot more risk averse. And that's why I think it's just incumbent upon, you know, city and state and county officials to, you know, get around the table and be more collaborative in efforts to get it done. When I was general counsel at Jackson State, Dr. Myers and I sought, I guess, similarly to collaborate with the city of Jackson to have the city of Jackson work with JSU for one, you know, stadium or dome or whatever would be built, and with the understanding that that particular development would be utilized not only by the city of Jackson and Jackson State, but also the medical center. We've had discussions with the folks with the medical center. They're certainly interested in having a place where they can have graduation and other events. You know, when you can get economies of scale working and synergy to pull resources from various pockets, then those types of major projects are, you know, a bit easier to get done. How do you do it? You can go after some of the resources that you have that I think are just really being untapped by us as a city and as a state in some regards. What I believe we have most in terms of the city of Jackson, the state of Mississippi, that we really underutilize are the people that have ties to Mississippi and to Jackson. You know, one thing that Governor Haley Barbour did, he did promote this Grammy. There are more Grammy winners that have ties to Mississippi than any other state. We have from, you know, sports to, you know, entertainers, people that if asked and they can see a project that makes sense, makes economic sense, but also appeals to their sense of helping their home state. I think we just need to do a better job at that. But that would be the way I would approach it, as well as just reach out to some folks that are interested in developing in our city. But we can't miss the opportunity when people come to us and for whatever reason we don't properly vet it, and then we miss that opportunity. And I think such an opportunity was missed with Trustmark Park, quite frankly. As I understand it, once that gentleman was told that we would not partner with him, within a week or so, he was over in Pearl inking the deal. And then as a result, we have now, you know, a barrage of, you know, other economic activity within that area that's really making it quite a challenge now, a greater challenge for us as a city. To compete in that regard, but there are ways still to do that. But that would be my approach, to really put some people around the table. Let's look at who's out there, what they may be interested in, and I probably would start with Farris Street, get that deal done, get some people in that can help get that completed.
Would you try to change the developer?
Yes, I would. I just think it's time for that, quite frankly. I know David, and I know he probably made a great effort in that regard, but after a while, I think it's just time to fish or cut bait, and 14 or so years, I think it's just time for that.
And one of the things, kind of a follow-up to that, that seems to be a persistent issue in the city is kind of the push-pull between the development community and the mayor's office. And So the part, the side of that that I'm interested in is how, you know, because a lot of projects are thrown out there. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are very large.
Yes.
Expensive to the taxpayers. Perhaps involves some eminent domain. Mm-hmm. And so even as a developer and someone with a development background, if you're elected mayor, you're going to be in a position to try, so that I'm guessing you could probably not sign on to every single one of those projects.
Absolutely not.
Right. And I know from experience that the development community can get kind of upset with you if you don't sign on to
sure.
every single one of those projects. So talk about that a little bit. How do you balance all of those balls that would be thrown in your direction by the developers?
Developers, you know, they all believe that their project is the one to do, and, you know, and that's just the nature of a developer. That's understandable. Mm-hmm. But I think that it is just incumbent upon a mayor and city officials to properly vet each one of those deals and to get the advice and counsel of people who actually understand the nuances of those types of deals. I think that where we have really missed it over the years, and it's what I've learned at, as general counsel at Jackson State, is that you're not required to know everything about everything. Just being a lawyer, you know, there's too much law out there to be an expert in everything. We need to learn how to pick up the phone and call people who know and really use the advice and counsel of people who are experts in the field. And that's what I really learned at JSU from standpoint of working with for JSU and the projects that we worked on, from the Palisades to the student center to the Walter Payton Complex and University Place. When you confer with people, that you get references and you speak with people that have worked with those people in the past, and you get a comfort level that they know what they're doing, and you can go and kick the tires and see, well, yeah, you know, you did a good job with this and move forward with it. But in terms of specific deals, you also have to have a comprehensive plan of where it is you're trying to go. Mm-hmm. See, the city of Jackson, you know, we have Vision 2022 with the Greater Jackson Chamber Partnership, but the city of Jackson needs its own vision, because you can take all of that is there and make a decision as to, for a city, what are our competitive advantages in terms of promoting the city of Jackson and moving it forward from an economic standpoint. In about 5-10 years, what do we want to look like as a city? You know, what resources do we have? That's something that's plausible, it's not pie in the sky, that we can actually, you know, get a drawing board and say, okay, these are the resources that we have. How do we start charting the course to get from where we are to where we want to be? And some people can come up with some brilliant ideas, but it doesn't fit into the plan. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we won't ever get to that, but in terms of priorities, it's just not what we're going to do right now. But the other thing is, you explain that and give people, continue to communicate with them. I think largely our problem also, we just fail to communicate. We'll have people to submit proposals, and we just don't ever get around to saying yay or nay, and they just leave them hanging. And people can get pretty bitter, particularly when they start to put time and money into projects that they think that the city is on board with, and only to find out, you know, some months or years later, that no, we're really not going to do that project. And then that's when you may have not just ill feelings, but you may end up with some lawsuits as a result of it. So we have to first identify where we want to be, get a comprehensive plan, a strategic plan for our city, look at the resources that we have in terms of vetting and formulating that plan, and start putting the people around the table and vetting those developers to come in and be a part of that. And I would say with any economic development plan, you always want to have a level playing field, and you want participants and people that have the capacity to make it happen. And the more you have in terms of the competition, the more you have to select from, and it would be better for the city and for whatever entity that's seeking to go forward with that particular plan. So open up the process. I don't see the benefit. I always, in the Jackson Saving Grove, I always saw the benefit of competition, because competition drives the price down. When I used to, you know, solicit legal services, I get the feel of competent attorneys in the area and ask them to just submit a proposal as to what it would cost to do it. Because if you don't do that, you tend to pay more. Mm-hmm. And we don't need to pay any more than we absolutely have to pay, because at the end of the day, you're taxpayer dollars.
Somebody else?
Yeah, you were talking about the various projects and balancing them out. I mean, now that you've had a chance to look at some of these projects, mm-hmm. which one of these do you favor, and which one do you think will, you know, which one of the, a few, maybe just a few of them, that you think will help move the city forward?
Well, let me speak of it in terms of what I would love to see for the city of Jackson. Mm-hmm. More housing downtown. Mm-hmm. More housing. Because when we have activity in the downtown area, then that stimulates more economic development for the various businesses, from restaurants and whatever is needed, stores. But that, to have quality housing in downtown Jackson would be, I think, just a great shot in the arm for us as a city. Now, having said that, we need some entertainment downtown as well, and I know the mayor is big on trying to get the hotel to be a part of the convention center, and that's absolutely needed. But when people start to vet where they want to be for a conference, you know, the hotel alone is just not going to get it. We have to have something for them to do once they get to downtown Jackson. So that's why places like a Ferris Street, where people don't have to worry about the crime, because even people who live in Jackson, they have a concern about going to Ferris Street. We have the Alamo Theater, and I told you that when I went to see Bobby Rush and Dexter Allen, and it was just an absolute great performance. The auditorium was virtually empty. And I asked Marsha Weaver, you know, how in the world do we have these artists here, this incredible talent, and no one's here, basically. And she talked about a couple of things. Number one, they just felt they needed to get more support from the city. And the other thing was the issue of crime. People are not going to come to places that they feel unsafe. So we have to do what's necessary in order to not just have them feel safe, but, you know, make sure that they are safe from the standpoint that we can work at that. Whether it's having people to drive to the Coliseum and having officers there to protect their cars, because nobody wants to come back from a nice event and, you know, you end up missing something that you ended up having when you got there, and just having them dropped off there. But we just need to pay some real time and attention to the rich history and the culture that we have in the entertainment industry. And that's one way to get at it, I believe.
What do you think of the, just quickly, well, let me ask it this way. Are there projects, some of the large projects mm-hmm. that are being floated right now mm-hmm. that you think need more vetting? I mean, in a real way. You know, are the ones you're concerned about, which I think Tyler was getting at as well?
We can just take them. And sure. I'll just speak to the ones sure. that I know, what I know mm-hmm. about
yeah.
them. Capitol Green, as I understand it, the money was there with the county in order to get the infrastructure in place, but it's been sitting there for what reason, I'm not sure, other than...
I'm not sure anybody actually knows, but...
Okay,
you know.
I think that's something...
tell us, now. And vice versa.
It just seems to be, you know, one of those projects that we probably need to try to push forward, you know, since certainly the funding is there, but we'll see, because you don't know. You're outside looking in, kind of thing. The One Lake project, as I understand it, it is still, there's more work needs to be done in terms of that, with the Army Corps of Engineers is asking for a study, so we just wait and
see if it'll work. Yeah.
And if it works, you know, who doesn't want a project that, mm-hmm. that works and can generate and stimulate some economic development within our city? I talked about the Ferris Street project in terms of, you know, the city has, what, $3+ million in the infrastructure there. I think MDA or another state agency has about 5 or whatever so million in it. I would just tell you as a side note that just really tugged on my heart quite a bit was I was at Peach's restaurant on Farris Street and spoke with the owner, Roderick, and he told me that his mother just refuses to come back because she's just heartbroken that when she gets there and then she looks at the dilapidated buildings right outside of the storefront,
right,
and she's been told time and time again for years that the city who owns the property would come and board it up or do something. But it just, it's painful to her to come there and see that. That was a bit hard to take, I'm just going to tell you. And she, and Roger said she told him he should just close down the restaurant and do something else. That just shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. We can just do better than that. If nothing but put some plywood up, it's what he suggested. Just board it up, but don't have their customers coming and being subjected to that. Which reminds me of something a 13-year-old girl told me in South Jackson when I went and I just asked her about, asked her what she wanted for our city. And interestingly enough, she didn't say what I thought she was going to say. I thought she was going to say a movie theater, a skating rink, or something from an entertainment standpoint. And she said that she wants the abandoned houses on her street torn down.
What I was about to ask about.
But oh, ahead. My goodness. That was painful to hear that. Because she said, she told me she was afraid she was going to be snatched into one of them. And I've been just going throughout the city, just meeting with numerous homeowner associations. And we have some very strong ones and we have some that need some help. But I see exactly what she's talking about. And it just helps to create crime in our city. When you have these houses that are abandoned, and you know, it's just an opportunity for criminals to take hold and be there, and just things that are happening within some of these structures, from drug sales to whatever, is we've got to do better. We've just got to do better as a city, as city leaders. We can't have our children been subjected to this kind of nonsense.
Well, break that down for me.
Okay.
Because there's no issue more important to me personally than this issue. What do you do? How do you deal with it?
I would go ahead and implement. I've been reading on what some other cities are doing. The city of Memphis created what's called an environmental court. Now, I know our city, we have a hearing officer. I think we need something with a little bit more teeth in it. And that is to have an environmental court where you have an actual judge that would hear issues of code violations, city code violations, zoning, health and safety.
It's on a tape.
I don't know what it's...
Maybe it'll stop now. We apologize.
No problem.
For those, if anyone's watching, that's the video camera. The videographer has left the room. So I'm sorry, Ms. Quinn.
That's quite all
right. We'll continue on. We were talking about the environmental court with an
the
actual judge.
The environmental court with a judge, an actual judge, and we would have to get legislation for it in terms of what I'm speaking of. Because all of the powers and authority that with a judge where people understand the serious and not just a matter of we put a lien on your property and that's the extent of it. Because people that, for whatever reason, it's not a priority for them. They may not even live in the state of Mississippi. And they have property and it is, you know, it's an eyesore, it's dangerous. And the people will be given a summons and asked to come and to clean up their property within X number of days. If they fail to do that, then they will be in contempt of court. And then it goes from there. Judge decides what happens from there. Interestingly enough, I have a client who will remain nameless that city of Clinton, he had some property and he was in violation of a court order to clean up his property. And they traveled some number of miles to arrest him. And hauled him into court and all that comes with that. That property was cleaned up in a hurry. So I asked some of the homeowners in Jackson, just in some homeowner association meetings, did they want our city to get to that point and be that punitive, where you would actually arrest somebody and put them in jail if they failed to comply?
Yes.
You know what they said?
Right.
Yes.
Exactly what I was wanting to say.
They said that we are sick of this. Mm-hmm. We are sick of this, you know.
Now, how do you pay for tearing down the... do you have some sort of sense of how you would actually, if the city had to clean it up themselves?
The problem with what we have with our city is that we clean it up, we file a lien, but it's not a priority lien. Mm-hmm. From the standpoint, like your taxes, that's a priority lien. So it's not a question of if you have one or two liens ahead of it, the city can't do anything unless you pay off the priority liens. Mm. It's basically, it's a super priority lien, meaning just like your property taxes, when you don't pay your taxes, you can lose in a tax sale. We need that. Mm. So if the city of Jackson comes in and pays a company to tear down the property, then that lien would become basically a lien whereby it would be collected by the Hines County Tax Collector's Office. And if you fail to pay it, then you can lose your property if someone pays that. Okay. So that puts more teeth in it. And it would get people from just, okay, I got a lien, so what? And that's what's happening now. They don't care about the fact that that lien is two or three liens down on their property, because who's going to pay? You know, City of Jackson doesn't have the money to pay off those prior liens before anything is done. So as I understand it, that's what some cities are doing. It's working. And I believe that's what we need to do.
But you'd need legislation.
Yes, we would.
Okay. Bless you.
Thank you.
Okay, someone else. I could probably go on forever, but yeah, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Thanks. In an interview that you gave to the Jackson Free Press earlier, mm-hmm. you talked about crime mm-hmm. and how to address crime.
Yes.
One of the things that you brought up is education, or the lack of it,
yes.
right?
Yes.
My understanding is that the city... you know, if JPS asks for a certain amount of money and the city is obligated to give it to them,
yes.
and there's no more room to add more millage to let me just cut to the chase here. Mm-hmm. What specifically do you see from that the mayor can do to improve educational opportunities for the children in Jackson?
Mm-hmm. That's a critical question in terms of what the mayor can do. And you know, the obvious thing is appointing board members, what I call transformational leaders. Mm-hmm. We have a broken system with JPS. And when we talk about the urgency of now, it's really urgent for me because I have an 8-year-old at mm-hmm. Matt Willie Montessori School. So this is more than an academic exercise for me. My husband and I, John will be going to probably Davis next year. But the fact that we have a school system whereby we don't have one high-performing middle school in the city is just totally unacceptable. We've got to get that done. And the question of what a mayor can do. Mm-hmm. The selection process for board members, I believe, is just critically important. Board members have to manage the superintendent. And I know, by and large, and I just know this from having practiced law for a number of years, board members really need to understand their role as board members. I often hear the folks say that we don't want to micromanage. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes people believe that not managing is not micromanaging. That's not what that means. Mm-hmm. That's not what it means at all. You set policy. You provide the resources that are needed, and you make sure that you have benchmarks in place. And when people are meeting those benchmarks, you know that you're progressing as you need to progress. But you don't put someone in place and take a view of kind of a bird's eye, let's just see what's happening, and be, you know, too far removed that you're not mm-hmm. making an impact. The other thing is, in terms of what a mayor can do, is to reach out to the corporate community in terms of what needs to be done. Our educational system, I believe, is not functioning as it should. There are a number of things. Number one is just the climate that we're in. This is just a different world. You could, back in the day, tell a kid to do something, and you wouldn't have the pushback that you're having with some of these kids. Now, we have a real discipline problem in our schools. The superintendent of the Hattiesburg Public School District started to require the students be tested on deportment. And interestingly enough, they found that when students were tested on deportment, and I mean, what is proper behavior for you as a student within school, do you know their behavior problems were cut in half? So the old adage, when you know better, you do better, that's a real good example of it. We've got to get our parents engaged, as well as our corporate leaders, religious communities, all hands on deck to get at this problem. Our parents, and we as parents, my husband and I, we're pretty, some may call it strict. I'll just go ahead and call it strict in terms of making sure that during the evenings that our son is, when he's doing homework, he doesn't have clutter. It's a clean area. There's just some basic things that we do. But also TV time is limited. If he gets it, it's 30 minutes, no more than that, school night. That he struggles through and we help him, but you have to go through the process of helping children to get some of these basic skills at home, that when they are in the school, a school setting, that it makes it a lot easier for teachers to teach. And in terms of
how do you get parents who aren't engaged to engage the way you are?
That's a tougher thing, but in terms of trying to encourage them, I tell you, this is the thing. I don't know whether this is going to work, but what I would really love to do is, on the dropout rate, is to ask the parents and the children of the students who have dropped out of school to meet me at Thalia Myra Hall, and let's talk about getting your kids back in school. But the other thing, in terms of getting the parents engaged to help them to do what they need to do, I think we have to reach out to all of our resources, our church communities, our homeowner associations, even the jobs, and just talking to people about the nuts and bolts of where we are and why it's difficult for our children to be able to excel for themselves personally as well as for our community if we don't get them redirected. Our kids, I'm finding, they don't take instruction that well. They don't take I don't want to say too much in terms of some people that I've talked to recently, in terms of when you try to give constructive criticism. We have our children now have a very thin skin about being told that something that they're doing needs a little bit more work. It's as if you would need to be told that everything you do is great, or you seem to be crushed emotionally. And I don't know really where that comes from. You ought to be able to critique a person, young and old, and it helps you to grow. And it's just something that I learned. I think older people, we get that. Everything that you do is not great. That's how you get that. But in terms of the parents and how we get at the parents, I believe largely it's going to be with community organizations, churches, having the mayor to be, again, the ambassador for, look, we've got a problem here, we need to get this fixed, and we need your help.
If a charter school organization comes in and says, you know, and wants to put a charter school in Jackson, is that something that you would be in favor of?
My thing about charter schools is I'm concerned about the public school system in Jackson and what that would mean in terms of funding for public schools in Jackson. And the fact that now, as I understand the legislation, it would have to be a nonprofit, I certainly appreciate that, that it's required to be a nonprofit. But I want us to support our public schools, but I want us to also appreciate the fact that it's not always about money in terms of getting our schools from where they are to where they need to be. Barr Elementary, I believe, is a school that the principal got Barr to be from a level 2 school to a level 5 with no additional funding. I think a lot of it is we don't have a great expectation for our children. We just don't, from parents to many administrators, maybe even some teachers. Not all. We have some very good public school teachers. But our expectation is so low. you know, when we start to really expect more, require more, we'll find that our students will give us more. I know that's the case. I've been around kids too long to
sure.
not, and regardless, sure. we have to do it. We just have to do it.
Are you, go ahead, are you?
Everybody was ready to jump in on that one. Are you willing to, obviously, if you're, when you're talking about education and, the, and its relationship to crime, you're talking about a long-term solution.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Are you willing to put that out there, that this is a long-term? It's really easy, you know, when you're campaigning to say, yeah, I can get this done. I can get this done in 2 years or 3 years
it's
or
gonna take
5 years.
Than that. Yeah. It would take longer than that. I think we have a few things going on. We have a breakdown of the family unit, okay? We have a culture that's desensitized to crime. Mm-hmm. We, you know, the situation where, you know, we seem to have murders in Jackson to such a degree now, you know, it makes the news, but people are just not surprised by it. It should be just such a thing and such an environment within our city that people are, you know, on top of the roof and saying, look, what in the world is going on here? We've got to get this thing turned around with this crime situation. And I've said before that crime, as I believe it, happens because of three primary things. It is a dysfunctional public education system. It's a lack of job opportunities, and it's a drug problem here in the city that we have. And if we don't get this educational system right in our city, we're going to see a lot more of this. We've got to get this right. It's just imperative that we get it right, and we can get it right. And I believe in looking at best practices. Very few things are new in this day and age. Let's look at some of the cities that have been in the situation that we're in, see how they dug themselves out of the rut that they were in, and how we can go about getting that done for the city of Jackson and our public school system. But I think that from what I've been reading, we're bloated in terms of the administration and in terms of the dollars that we're spending per pupil. I mean, we've got to start. If there's some place to start, let's look at the curriculum. Let's look at how we're teaching. Are we teaching in such a fashion that is conducive to the child learning? The student that we have now, not the student that we had 10 years ago or 20 years ago, the student, the children that we have now, is this the best way for us to be teaching?
Yeah.
Did
you have something?
I wanted to return to thin-skinned kids for a second. Seems like we also have a lot of thin-skinned adults, and it seems like we're also in a place where the schools, in order to deal with discipline problems, are more likely to get the police involved. And you would manage the police department as mayor, so could you talk about what the relationship would be between JPS, your JPD, and the schools, and how would you manage those situations?
I think that with the school system, you certainly have to have discipline, and you have to be very direct when you're dealing with people. When it's a problem where people are being dangerous to themselves and others, there's a time to get the police involved. But in terms of managing that, my first blush would not be to incarcerate. If there's an opportunity to take the child where he or she is, and do some things other than, you know, slap handcuffs on. Maybe there's an opportunity to have the minister come in, or people or counselors to try to get to the root of the problem. Oftentimes we're putting Band-Aids on problems. And when you start to really talk to the student, you will see that they've got some issues at home. I found that out at Jackson State. You know, what some of these kids are dealing with are some real adult types of issues that, you know, first blush you would have no idea, and you find out that this is what the deal is, and maybe it is a matter where you can provide some assistance, whether it's counseling, or sometimes, you know, it's a matter of pulling out your wallet. I mean, you know, sometimes that just had to be done. But there needs to be an opportunity. And as mayor, I certainly would be seeking to ask those that are in a position to provide some real mentoring. I think we're lacking that. Some real mentoring of our young people, and helping them to redirect their lives. I would say also that we need to really get to locating the leaders within our, you know, young community, because kids tend to follow other kids. And some of these young people, they have some real leadership skills. They're just leading our kids into areas that we don't want them to be in. So you identify, and that's one thing I want to do is a youth leadership summit, is have teachers and church members to identify leaders within the community of young people and give them some real leadership training, give them some areas to really focus in on, entrepreneurship, public service, any number of things that they may just put on the table and say, you know what, it would be a neat idea for the city of Jackson and young people. How about this? And then let's provide some resources and then engage some other folks to for them to bring in to the fold and start trying to create some things that would be beneficial to themselves and to our city.
Now, you had mentioned drug as one of your three causes, mm-hmm. drugs. What would you do as mayor mm-hmm. to try to reduce drug-related violence? Because that's a lot of the violence, and a lot of the murders are drug-related. So,
I would start with treatment, quite mm-hmm. frankly, because as long as you have users, you're going to have people out there selling. So there are some federal dollars, as I understand it. I've talked to people that have had, whether it's recovering addicts or recovering alcoholics, that believe that we're just not doing enough as a city to tap into some of those resources from grants and what have you to get some real counseling. As a matter of fact, there was a gentleman that talked to me recently at a senior citizen's home. He's a recovering addict. And he says there's a lot more can be done in the city of Jackson to tap into that and to get some of these people off the street and help to rehabilitate them. We won't be able to save them all, but we can do a better job of rehabilitating the people that are on the streets and have a drug problem. And in terms of the drug trade, I think that it's important also to not just be visible as a police department, but to make sure that we're doing some real creative police work where we are utilizing all of the technology excuse me, that's available. I don't know if we're doing that. I'm not a police officer. I know we need to get illegal guns off the street. Mm-hmm. I know that we need to get our children in school. I know that we need to create some opportunities for them. So the approach would be one of, again, like I approach everything else, put people around the table that are experts in the field and that have been successful in doing this in other places, and let's get about getting it done.
Let me ask you this. This is more, I'm curious about your impression mm-hmm. of when you look at Jackson and kind of the whole criminal justice system, mm-hmm. what do you think the weaknesses are? And I don't mean just the police department. Sure. Let's spread out from there mm-hmm. into areas that you wouldn't have, as mayor, wouldn't have direct purview over. Mm-hmm. Sheriff's Department, mm-hmm. the judicial system. And what's your thoughts on where some of the problems are?
Well, let me tell you what I've heard from police officers. I've heard that it's extremely frustrating for them to arrest offenders, and then shortly thereafter, they see them back out on the street. Mm-hmm. We have got to do a better job in creating an environment whereby we don't have this revolving door kind of atmosphere in our city. It seems that we do a lot of slapping on the wrist kind of judicial network or set up where, when we know that we've got some real offenders, that they're habitual offenders, or they may be the child of someone who's notable, then they get preferred treatment. Mm-hmm. I just believe that in order for us to have a community and a society that it works best when we have a set of rules that apply to all of us equally. I think it's a dangerous thing when we dispense justice based on who is the offender. So my job as mayor would certainly be to take a look at those municipal court judges and kind of look at their track record as to how they are dispensing a judgment mm-hmm. with this criminal element. And certainly everyone who's arrested, I certainly understand it doesn't necessarily mean that they're guilty of it. But when the evidence is there that this is a person who is the real culprit, then we need to deal with that in such a fashion that we don't provide the awareness to that person and to others that we are serious about curbing crime in the city. Mm-hmm. I think it really would start there. Also, I know that our police department morale is extremely low. We have to have a situation where we are recruiting the best officers that we can possibly recruit. I know some people have said that we need to raise our standards and have people who have at least 2 years of college. I don't know if that's necessarily the thing to do, but I have heard that some departments, they have a test for their recruits. They test your policing IQ.
Okay? But we don't do that.
Not to the extent that mm-hmm. some of these other cities do it. So you may not necessarily have a four-year degree, but if you pass this exam, there's some things that they're looking for in terms of your analytical abilities mm-hmm. or just the way that you would approach situations. And they know as a police officer some of the skills that you need to have, and they have some markers mm-hmm. in there based on that, and that's the way they test and judge who they want on their police force.
Do you think we get enough applicants? I mean, that's a serious question.
It is a serious question.
For the money that we pay, it feels like one of the problems that we have is that the pool's not big enough.
Well, I keep hearing that the pool is not big enough. I don't know that that is the case
You're
or
right.
not. I don't
right.
know because,
sure.
quite frankly, in terms of some of the information we're getting, I don't know how mm-hmm. credible. I'm not trying to disparage anyone, but it would take looking at and just seeing what the real information is. I do know that there are some people within the city that are very interested in helping the city of Jackson, helping the city grow. And these persons, they get onto the police department understanding that the pay is not great, mm-hmm. But they do it anyway. They put their lives on the line for it, and
sure.
they are to be commended for that. But in terms of some of the officers that we are not necessarily getting that we could get, perhaps if we had kind of a better situation there, we may get more police officers willing to make that sacrifice mm-hmm. Than we're currently getting. And then we have to be very creative as to how we give incentives to some officers. Mm-hmm. I know there are some programs that are done nationally, even through HUD, that mm-hmm. for first responders, if the pay scale, whatever it is, $27,000 or so, one way to curb crime is what I want to look at is to put some housing in some areas of Jackson in clusters. Don't have one police officer in an area where it's just not conducive to his safety and his family's. Mm-hmm. But if we have some areas within the city of Jackson that we know we have a crime problem, that one way to recruit some police officers would be to provide housing. You get a house in a neighborhood or clusters where you have police officers, firemen, put them in areas and start to try to infiltrate some of these areas within the city of Jackson with first responders. And you do a couple of things. You have to provide incentives for pay, and you have to stabilize some of the neighborhoods. So right. I think that's something we really need to look at.
Anybody dying to have
yeah,
something?
And
we are trying to wind down. We've
okay.
been about an hour and 13 minutes,
wow.
according to my man.
Okay.
So we will try to wind down quickly, because
okay.
I know you probably have other things to do.
I want to preface this by saying I think that what I perceive to be the top candidates in the race are all intelligent people, mm-hmm. professionals, accomplished, and successful. And you certainly are all of those things. I think one of the concerns about the current administration, and then also just about the challenge, is you can't do it all yourself,
mm-hmm.
Even though you may be a very impressive person and may even bring different energy to the job. In fact, we had that mayor, and that was a problem. He wore a gun, and, you know, but he'd do the whole thing.
I got
so.
You. Mm-hmm.
In 90 days.
So my question to you is really, and this is the an endorsement interview, and I'm looking for reasons to, you know, to endorse, and then we'll hear from everybody else and to compare.
Sure.
With similar questions.
Yes.
Sure.
Tell me about management and hiring. Mm-hmm. How are mm-hmm. we going to put together a city that is filled with people who are going to implement your vision? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to throw in there, too, that, and this is a problem, I think, with all the top campaigns as well, you have all hired people we already know to run your campaigns. Mm-hmm. So everybody gets, you know, 2 points off
for
creativity
some of the way,
so
some of that
far
stuff
hiring.
Is going, yeah.
So help me get over that. How are you going to hire and manage this team to implement your vision?
My approach would be to try to recruit some of the best people in the country to come to Jackson. I am just a believer in, you look at people who have been successful in doing exactly what it is that you want. I can't tell you that I've done a whole lot of searching, but one thing that I am particularly looking for is the best CAO in the country for an urban city in the South. Or just in the urban city, period. Because I think where we miss the boat oftentimes is that we might pick someone that's good in a particular area, but would not be a good fit for Jackson, Mississippi. And in terms of what my, I guess, paradigm or model for me as mayor, I believe that the most important job for a mayor is to basically be someone who would go out and recruit businesses into the city, help to certainly manage the CAO, but certainly you need someone who's operating and running the day-to-day operations of the city. Now, that CAO certainly needs to be someone who has certain management skills, the wherewithal, and is a person that's proven within that industry. The other people that will come to the table, it would be a matter of certainly seeking nationally people, again, that may be a good fit for Jackson, Mississippi. And I'm not saying that at the end of the day that persons that will be brought in will be all people from out of the state or out mm-hmm. of the city. But I believe that we need some fresh ideas about how to go about managing the city with resources that are dwindling, people that have been very successful in running a police department within an environment that's similar to what we have here in Jackson, Mississippi, people that understand how to promote a city of this size with the opportunity to really go after some of these entertainers that have ties to Mississippi that we're currently not really, you know, seeking to help build and create an entertainment type of base. We talk about creating a destination city, but we haven't done it. How do we go about doing that? Just one of the things that I thought about was, you know, how much could it take for us before she gets too much older is to do to honor a Leontine Price. And when you do something of that magnitude, you start to pull in people that have ties to Mississippi that may not necessarily just do it if you call them and say, hey, will you come here and do such and such? But you have to appeal to people's interests in being able to solicit them to do things of that sort. But in terms of how we get from where we are to where we need to be in terms of managing this city, it would be to seek out people that are heads and shoulders above others in their discipline. Because to do things the way we've always done it is not going to work. Quite frankly, I wouldn't be going through all this for that. You know, I availed myself to this process just so I could be the change agent for this city. I had no disillusion about from bankruptcy to, you know, whatever it is. But it's needed is needed. This city has so much potential, and it is just unfortunate, and it's just sad for us to be here in 2013 dealing with these issues that we're dealing with. And we're not going to get out of this rut unless we decide to be very aggressive and very bold about our approach. And some of these people, and please don't judge what I would do as mayor based on whoever you believe is working with my campaign, because it ain't so. It ain't so. I would tell you that I'm looking forward to moving around this country and selling Jackson, Mississippi.
Well, let me follow that up just quickly, because one of the things that, and I feel you, and that would be a fabulous thing to do, I'm concerned on two fronts.
Okay.
One is that we, for whatever reason, my experience with Jackson is that sometimes we'll get folks to Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
Superintendent's one of them right now, former chief of police, the last one we really brought in from outside, Robert Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Where their reception is fairly hostile from the outset, media-wise and whatever other interests are working against that. And at the same time, I kind of look at that and say, how do you expect to get the assistant chief from Memphis or from St. Louis or from, you know, Chicago, or whoever it is that people think is supposed to be the next chief of police to Jackson, when you can't pay him, and it's a step down? You know, you're going to get somebody who is coming, either coming up from something smaller than Jackson, or you're going to get somebody who hasn't been, like Chief Moore wasn't in that exact position, but he was moving up career-wise.
And was obliterated by the media in unfair ways.
And was, destroyed. And I think that Dr. Gray is where, I mean, editorially we're saying right now, at least give him a fair shake. We understand their problems, but this is who we've got right now. And so I guess what I'm asking you is, obviously, you're going to get in a lot of trouble if you get into the mayor's office and start paying people more than other people getting paid, or, you know, trying to recruit them that way. How else can you recruit them so that they're going to want to be in Jackson and be part of this change movement that you're going to lead?
I think a couple of things. Number one, we can't just rely on resources that the city of Jackson has. And I know that that comes with some issues of it in and of itself when we're talking about soliciting support from, for instance, this chamber or some of these other business organizations to maybe supplement. The other thing is to look for people who may have some tie to this state or some state that is adjacent. Sometimes that people may be at a point in their professional life where they're looking to do something a little different than the hustle and bustle of a New York. And they're ready, you know, this may be a piece of cake to them in terms of what it is they need, they want to do for the next, you know, 8 years or so.
And their mama may live here.
And their mama may live
right
here. That's what you look for. You're trying to, that's when I talk about you need to find someone that will work in Jackson, Mississippi. That's exactly what I'm speaking to. Because you do get into a problem when you recruit people from different parts of the country. They get here and they say, you all too slow for me. I'm going back to wherever I came from. So that's a part of the vetting process. You're trying to identify people who will work in this environment. It takes more time, sure. It takes more time to do that. But that certainly can be done. I'm sure that can be done. There's somebody out here that can help us with these problems, that's willing to be here for the pay that we can come up with.
And then you said some things, just real briefly, about management already. In terms of the school board, we're talking about that. How about you personally? What are some of your management theories and ideas when you're in that role?
I look at people in positions based on a couple of things. Number one, I want to be very clear and very direct what my philosophy is about working the organization and where we're going. Benchmarks, you know, what's the plan? We got benchmarks in place, managing them through that process. And if the person is not producing, then I look at what's the reason for it. And usually it's one of two things. It's either a skill problem or a will problem. If it's a will problem, then that's an easy fix. You know, you get rid of the person if they just don't have the will to do what it is that you've set for them to do. If it's a skill problem, then you put a, you know, some type of performance improvement plan and just see whether or not that person would be workable based on what you provide in terms of training and whatnot. But I like to manage in a fashion where people understand what the goals are, and I'm not one to micromanage either, but I want to see the results. I want to see the results of what it is that you're supposed to be doing in a timely fashion. And I don't want to have to wait a year. You know, it shouldn't have to wait a year to determine whether or not it's working. That's not good for you or me if it's not working. I want you to be happy. And I want you to be happy here, but if you're not happy here, I want you to be happy somewhere else. So it's... we don't have a whole lot of time in terms of dealing with people that don't understand that we're public servants. And I just know from having worked with the city on various projects, just hearing people. I grew up in Jackson. I know a lot of people. I know a lot of people that work for the city. I know a lot of people that do business with the city. And we've got some work to do in terms of our customer service. We've got some work to do in terms of our internal controls. We've got just work to do in terms of identifying what do we want to be about as a city and reaching out to those that can help to get it done. I believe that the best ideas come forward when people are around the table and they're vetting ideas. When you have a closed society, and most of the ideas come from one individual's, what's between that individual's two ears, is not likely to be a good result, not the best result. The best result comes from discussion, very candid discussion, and an opportunity and a culture for an exchange of ideas. And the person doesn't have to worry about saying an idea that may not necessarily be viewed in a fashion that is appreciated, and there's some penalty for it. People ought to be able to express ideas. And at the end of the day, when we break, you know, at the end of the day, it's my decision. I don't want you being passive aggressive in terms of working against me as a leader. But I do want you to challenge. I don't mind you challenging ideas. I think at the end of the day, once they're challenged, we'll end up with a better product. But once we say it's soup, then we need to be marching. You know, we got to be marching in the same direction and together. And that's the way I manage. And I think that's worked for me. That's worked for me.
Okay, we're at an hour 27. Is that it? Anybody I'm else good. Have a driving question? You know, we could go on all day. I mean, I'm sitting here and I just want to know where you grew up on Ridgeway Street.
I grew up
how close to the duplex?
I grew up on the west end of Ridgeway.
On the other side. Okay, yes, even further down. Yes. Okay.
You know Dennis Sweet?
Of course.
Dennis Sweet's backyard. And